Y'all are so fine. You know what? You know that, don't you? You are so fine. And just, you know, I'm thinking about Father's Day, and I see God just smiling, saying, look at all my kids. And he's just, man, he's looking at you and going, woo! Didn't I do good? Look, Jesus, look at all them, look at all our kids. Look at your brothers and sisters and look at all your kids. That just, I mean, think about that a minute. You got to meditate on those things. We got to think on those things. God's smiling down, looking at each one of us and saying, man, I love you. I love you so much. You make me so happy, you know, and I just want to do for you. That's just the heart of God. That's the heart of the Father, you know, and just, man, that's so much fun to think about that. You're so much, I just love it. You're just so sweet. You know, God just, he wants to come dance with you. You know that? We got to realize that. That is the heart of our Father. He wants to just come and just say, man, let me help you. Let me be a part. Well, I want to welcome everyone this morning, and I want to know how many people are here for the first time this morning. Never been to Cowboy Church, but this is your first time. Get your hand. Woo, a bunch. Thank y'all so much. Y'all welcome them. Thank you so much. You should have received the visitors' little packet to fill out, and just if you didn't, well, if you'll stick your hand up, they'll get you one, and you can fill that out and put it in the offering box when we do tithes and offerings. And that way you're going to get a phone call and they're going to ask you for your checking account number and everything. No, I'm just kidding. They just want to welcome you. And man, it's a good time for you to ask questions about the church. But other than that, they just want to welcome you. And we thank you. Thank you all again so much for coming. It's just a treat and a blessing to have you here. Well, it's time, do another praise for tithes and offerings. Heidi gave me a list. Heidi, you got a list too? Anything else? Are we good? We're covering everything. Okay. All right, y'all turn to Proverbs chapter 3. We're talking about, when I mentioned that God, and he's looking down and he's looking, saying, look at all my kids. You know, and the things that, I got to stop before I go there. Two or three weeks ago when I got to minister, I had Cahan and Hannah, and that's me and Kathy's middle son. And last week, Caitlin got to come with us, or 2 weeks ago whenever we were here. And then my other favorite daughter-in-law brought my other son and my grandkids this morning. And so y'all welcome them, and just I'm just thrilled they got to come. They've had a rather testy morning. We all know when we're on track that opportunities arise. And Howdy, you mentioned opportunities months ago, and opportunities for lots of things arise. And so the enemy really, he seen an opportunity this morning. They wanted to be here this morning. They left Angelo early this morning, and they called us at one point and had one truck tire going bad. And about 15 minutes later, Kirby calls back and says, now we blow the trailer tire. And so Kathy had to run get them. They've had a testy time getting here, but that's all, you know what? That's because God's got special things in store for all of us. And so Caleb may be going to preach, and maybe I'm going to sit down. Maybe that's why it's all that this morning. No, tithes and offerings. You know, the heart of the Father is to give. And, I mean, he gave his only son so that we could have eternal life and come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And, you know, when we get the revelation knowledge of that, when we grasp that, morning, London. You snuck in. And when we grasp that revelation knowledge and we begin to allow the Holy Spirit to show us that when we want to give like God wants to give, we get set free in so many areas in our life. Because what happens is we just realize, you know, I'm here to be a blessing. I'm here to do the work of the Father, to just be what he'd have me to be, where he'd have me to be, when he'd have me to be there. And so if I get tuned in and pay attention. And Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, I want to start there. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct your paths." Verse 7, "Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil, for it will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones." Verse 9, "Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine." When we hearken unto the voice of the Lord like that, it's strength to our bodies, it's health and to our bones. It's we rest in Him and we trust Him with all our heart, and it's a desire that when we do that, whatever He says, you know, I've heard people years ago, I don't hear it much no more. People have matured and grown so much, at least the people I get to be around. And a long time ago said, "Well, I gave there, but I didn't like the way they used their money." I'm going to tell you, first off, wherever you don't go to the grocery store and walk out the door without paying them. Okay? I mean, that's physical food. And wherever you go to church, your pastor, the body that God's put you in, that's where you receive your spiritual food. So you need to be a part of that. You need to, as God leads you and you bring your tithes and your offerings into that body. But as you do, God says, you know, I'm going to open up things to you that bring you into my presence in a manner that you'll be just amazed and awed at it. He said, "Trust in me with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding." And so, first off, when the Lord directs your giving, and He tells you, "This is what you do here," you just obey the Lord, and the rest is up to Him. It's out of my hands now. And so, I just, you know, it doesn't matter to me. If we're going down the street, Ricky Bowen's gotten so good. I mean, the Lord just really, He's so tuned in to people. He walks in convenience stores, and he likes to hand out $100 bills. And sometimes, you know, when you first start that, I'm going to tell you what, the enemy's going to tell you, when you start, and I'm not telling you you have to start with $100 bills. It might be a 5 or a 10 or a 1 or whatever. But when we begin to cultivate this giving attitude in our lives, God said, "Give and it'll be given unto you." And it's not just finances. I'm going to tell you what, it's favor, it's peace, it's joy. It's all kind of things that come into line with that. And so when we give, God says give, just give it. He said, "Cast your bread upon the waters and watch it come back to you." You know, this right here is our church. It's our spiritual food, and we need to support and we need to get behind that. And so, and then remember this morning too, you know, we've got the indoor arena that we're, you know, that God showed Corey that there would be 30 people. Give 10,000. That doesn't mean that you have to give 10,000. There's going to be a whole lot of things. I encourage you, ask the Lord and watch, because as this goes up, there's going to be a lot of avenues to give. And so just be a part. Whatever that part. A dollar, it doesn't matter. Just be a part of it. And so I'm going to pray over the tithes and offerings before you bring... No, I'm going to tell you what. Let's just worship the Lord and bring our tithes and offerings. Y'all come on and give them, then we'll pray over them after you bring them up. Thank y'all. Thank you guys. Y'all are so sweet. Let's pray over this morning. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for your people. And Lord, thank you that you've provided so we can give and be a part, as you've instructed us to. And Lord, there's people that's given from every perspective this morning, some out of want, some out of need, some out of just love. I mean, Lord, we're just being obedient, and we want to be willing and obedient. So I thank you, as the people have brought their tithes and offerings to worship you and to honor you with the first fruits of their increase, you fill their barns with plenty. You pour out blessings upon them that they've not got room enough to receive it. You open doors for new jobs, for favor. Lord, I just speak that over everyone here this morning. And Father, we believe it and we receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, special music. John?
Real quick, before I do this song, I want to kind of talk about this song, because this song has done some things with me that normally when I get up and minister a song, it doesn't usually do. When I first heard the song, it immediately made me think of two people. One was Ron Ross, and the other was my dad. And I think it's just because the similarities between the two people are, you know, when I think about them, it's incredible. And the song talks about two things. It talks about the Bible, and it talks about a man who is faithful in utilizing the Bible. And it talks about the Bible being truth, it being light, that it having peace. And, you know, even when I was practicing this morning, it did something a little weird. You know, the words were going through my mind and the Holy Spirit was saying, you need to be more like these men. It's going to make you a better husband. It's going to make you a better father. To me, it's a very powerful song. So I hope it ministers to you too. Laid upon the dashboard of his old pickup truck, or stuffed down in the pocket of his short sleeve button up. I've seen it in his toolbox beside the tractor seat. Wherever he was working, he kept it within reach. It was his trusted companion. It was a rock and his best friend. It was a love, it was the truth. When the path grew dim and it carried him, because it carried him. It carried him in strength when he was tired and down. It carried him with hope when hope could not be found. And when his love lay helpless and he knew it was goodbye, it promised him eternity and peace for when he cried. It was his trusted companion. It was a rock and his best friend. It was a truth, it was a light. When the path grew dim and he carried it, because it carried him. He read it every day, took it everywhere he went, and he beamed when he read that worn-out Weather Testament. It was his trusted companion. It was a rock and his best friend. It was a light, it was the truth. When his path grew dim and he carried it, because carried him.
Children's Church, let's give a round of applause as they go out that way. Youth, what about the youth today, huh? Everybody's going, youth in Children's Church. We also want to welcome all of those that are receiving or participating online this morning, that are live streaming. I'll welcome them this morning, and we just thank you guys for being a part too, and we appreciate it. So thank you so much. Y'all are like a little reserved this morning, and I'm like a little ringing. Like I hear echo like really big time. Is it getting better? Yeah. Now it's getting better. So y'all are a little bit too reserved. I don't know if what Dad did last night, if he had to cook for everybody so they'd have Father's Day meal today or what, but I want y'all to do me a favor. I want everybody to stand up. Come on now, let's wake up a little bit here. Y'all like to participate. Church is a participation event. Okay, we got to participate. So say this with me and say it boldly and declare. Father God, I declare this morning that I got ears to hear and a heart to receive revelation knowledge for you to open the eyes of my understanding so that I know who I am in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all can be seated. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Well, if y'all would, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 for just a little quick review of where I got to be a few weeks ago. Miss Ross, your son calls me the other day, and at the time I didn't know that Corey and Angela were going to be, Hattie and Angela were going to be here next week, and I might have to preach twice. And he says, you could do a series. And he tells me what he thinks I should do the series on. And I said, not even I'll go there. You would have been highly disappointed in what came out of his mouth. But anyway, I'm just kidding. You know, we joke. I mean, me and Corey, like, I mean, it's just got to be that deal. But a little quick review. You know, a couple, 3 weeks ago, we were touching on the weapons of our warfare. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 3, it says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. I want to stop right there. We all got strongholds and we encounter people in our realm of influence, in our area of influence that are dealing with strongholds. And I mean, I think there's a whole variety of them. I think there's a multitude of strongholds. You know, from little bitty things to great big things. You know, and I'm not talking about demonic possession here. I'm talking about strongholds in people's lives that keep them from fulfilling the destiny and walking in the fullness that God's got for each one of us to walk in. And so I'm like, personal experience. There's nothing. My dad was a really, he was one of them dads that experience is a good teacher. And he'd share something. He might suggest a few things about two times. And if you didn't heed his warning or his suggestion, from there on out, you get to experience the consequences of your actions, good or bad. And he's going to let you endure the whole thing. You that way, because you know, experience will let you know. It brings to you remembrance those things that were not fun. Is there any man in here that's been in that situation? I won't even go there with the women because y'all have to deal with us. But I mean, it's more a man thing than it is a woman thing, I think. You know, gee whiz. So when we ask the Lord, okay, I want you to open the eyes of my understanding. I want you to give me revelation knowledge. And I want you to show me the strongholds that I'm dealing with so I can help others deal with them in the same way. You know, better, you know, so they can overcome. And the last few months, well, the last year or better, 2 years, God's really, a few weeks ago, He dealt with me on joy. And He said, you need to participate in my joy more. And so I'm like, okay. And so I began to work on that, Sharon. And was it this week or last week, Kathy, that you had to take the truck to town? It was Monday. Anyway, with Caitlin here from Canada, and Kathy's giving her a vehicle, and Kathy takes my truck, and you men will appreciate some of this. I get started that morning. I mean, the Lord gave me the message for this that morning. And I sat down for 2 hours and I worked on that. And I'm thinking, okay, now I'm going to run the trash to the dumpster. I'm going to get the mail. I'm going to come back and work my ground so I can rope this afternoon. And as I'm walking out to the barn, the Lord said, check the tractor because sometimes the battery gets down when I don't use it. And before I go crank the tractor, cranks right up, so good. So I run to do all this, and I'm about halfway to town's where the dumpster is for the trash. And I run in there and put all that out, go back into the house, and I'm going to go work the ground. And I check the oil in the tractor, and it needs oil. And I don't have any oil. So now I got to go back to town. I was halfway to town, and I'm like, Lord, could you not have reminded me about to check the oil? So, I go back to town, I get the oil, I run a couple other errands, I run back to the house, I'm going to eat lunch, and we'll go work the ground. We're 20 miles from town. So I grab me a bite of lunch, I walk out the door, I turn the key on the tractor, and it won't start. The jumper cables are in the pickup that's in town. Okay, that's it. I'm like, Lord, I understand. Joy. He's like, joy, 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 joy. Ha, ha, ho, ho, he, you know. And I'm like, he said, you know, you just got to overlook those things. I found enough extension cords, men, to run the battery charger all the out the way the tractor was and charge the battery. And I go do some other things while the tractor charges. And then I will go work the ground. And this morning, the Lord said, well, yesterday we come back from Kevin Kirby's and we got a load of flooring. My wife's redoing the flooring, and I won't go into all of that, but I backed the dually up to the front door of the house, and I built a new fence a while back, and the gate's just wide enough for that dually to fit through. About that much room on each side. Unload all the flooring and put it in the house. I pull out and I turn a little sharp, and guess what? There's a new dent in the fender of the dually, okay? You know, and my wife was so proud of me because I didn't say anything or do anything. I'm thinking it. I'm not completely innocent, but I didn't. I managed to just, whew. And this morning, Lord, see, He said, son, you're learning. He said, you're learning. He said, my joy is your strength. And He said, if you'll just, He said, what difference does it make? It's a piece of metal. I'm like, yeah. But what he's saying, I want you to relax and I want you to experience my joy and realize that the situations and circumstances, because he said, I've got a lot for y'all to do. He said, we're in the last days and those strongholds that's held you back need to now be broken off of your life. And he said, you're going to break them by being willing and obedient to walk in my joy and my strength. Because there's a lot of people out there that need to be set free. And so I'm like, okay, I can do this. It's fun, Alan. It's fun. You know, joy, 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 joy. I just feel, me and Caleb, we got to visit in the truck for several hours of the day about all this. So I'm going to try to get into this because he really wanted me, I know where that he wanted me to get into this. So y'all understand, we wrestle not, though we walk in the flesh, we're not warring according to the flesh. We can't use carnal weapons to overtake these strongholds. And we can't use carnal weapons to help other people out from under the strongholds that are in their life. Y'all agree with that? Say amen. Okay. Turn to the Gospel of John. John chapter 5. I want to run through some of these scriptures right quick to just establish some things and then get into the meat of this. John chapter 5 verse 19. Say amen if you're there. Then Jesus answered and said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner." We got to see what the Father's doing. We got to know what he's doing. Okay? Just flip over to John chapter 12. And it'll be in verse 49 and 50. Jesus talking again here. And he said, "For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak." So, stop right there for just a minute. In order, I've got to know what the Father's telling me to do, and I got to see I got to know what he's telling me to say and see what he's having me to do. I got to be tuned in there. So how am I going to get tuned in there? Abide in the vine. Stay in constant communication with God. Okay? We got to stay in that constant communication. He said, "Pray always. Pray and always." You know, that's an attitude. That's a state of being, to be in constant communication and praying. He told us in Job chapter 22, he said, "Keep yourself acquainted with me that you may be at peace, and thereby good shall come unto you." And so we want to keep ourselves acquainted. And I just go a little bit further and say, "Lord, help me to stay in constant communication with you so that I am at peace, and thereby good comes to me, and I receive instruction from your mouth. I lay your words up in my heart, and I hear your voice, and I'm going to hearken diligently unto it." That's a choice. You know, just like yesterday evening, I'm going to tell you what I've normally done, okay? I'm just going to tell you. I'm going to be honest, and you can laugh at me. Men, some of you do the same things. I'd have just got in the truck, and I'd have hit that gas pedal. When I'd done, I'd just throw gravel all over everywhere, and I'd have just cussed and throw me a little fit of carnality. You been there? You know what? But you know something? When we stay in constant communication with the Father, so that you may be at peace, and thereby good comes to you. I don't know what he's got special. I got something special for that dent. God's going to fix that somehow. Or something's going to change. I don't know. I don't care. That deal of Ron Ross, I don't care. Son, you got to get to, I don't care. It don't make no difference. It's not eternal consequences. The only thing that matter are those that are eternal consequences in our lives. And when we get that focus to where we're looking at the eternal consequences, those people that we're around, they're in our area of influence, we're going to help set them free and deliver them. Because we've been obedient, and we've been willing, and we've stayed in communication with the Father, and we're at peace. There ain't nothing like peace. And when you get that "I don't care," it's a lot easier to be peaceful. You know, even when someone's looking at you saying something that you know is completely ignorant. Me and Caleb, we were talking about this morning. You know, there's a lot of people that just like to hear them. I think if they could look in the mirror and watch their mouth move, that might help them. Because they just like to hear their own voice. And they never say nothing that's of any importance. And y'all are around some of those too, aren't you? You know, when we get to that peaceful spot, that just slides over, and we don't care. You don't even hear them anymore. God will just turn the volume down, and you can look at them and smile, and they think you're listening. And it's okay, because there's a lot of conversations that people, we don't even need to engage in. That's not anything to do with my message. Okay, I'm gonna give you these four scriptures if you want to write them down. They're Matthew 14:23. They just all verify one another, okay? Because we just as Jesus must spend time with the Father, okay? Matthew 14:23. You can look these up. Mark 6:46, Luke 6:12, and John 6:15. And this is what they all basically what they say. He went to the mountain to pray, a place alone with God, and no distractions. We activate the anointing, and we're going to read this in just a minute, Luke 4:18, by spending time alone with God. We activate, turn to Luke, right quick, back to Luke, and because we need to understand that the Spirit, Luke chapter 4. Luke 4:18-12. We talked about this a few weeks ago, but the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. We activate that anointing just like Jesus did. We spend time with the Father to where He imparts that into us, into our nature, and pretty soon we're becoming partakers of the nature of Christ. And we get excited about keeping ourselves acquainted with Him and being at peace, because I'm going to tell you what, when there's peace, we can hear. You know, I don't like a lot of noise anyway. Kathy and Caitlin tell me I probably need a hearing aid sometimes. Because as you get older, some of those syllables run together or something. Things kind of go together. But just noises in general. I mean, I can hear the bird chirp 200 yards away. I may not know what kind it was, but I can hear it. But I don't like loud noises. They just agitate me substantially. I have to really watch that. And so, but when we're at peace, we can hear. When we're in peace and we're listening, we're tuned into the Holy Spirit, and it opens the ears of our understanding and the ears of our heart to where we hear the voice of God. Just like yesterday. I mean, I know this is dumb, silly deal, but with the truck thing, you know, I mean, I'm getting in that truck thinking, And God's saying, don't. The Holy Spirit's saying, just chill out. So I finally took a deep breath and I just went and unloaded the rest of the stuff and put the truck up and went to house and ate supper. And it was a whole lot better eating. For not just me, but everybody around me. Y'all can laugh because y'all all been there. I'm going to tell you, I know these are simple analogies, but that's where we begin. To establish the peace in our lives that passes all understanding so we can listen and be tuned into the voice of God. Now I'm going somewhere with this, okay? So, Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon each one of us. He's anointed each one of us, and we gotta activate it, and we activate it by prayer and time with the Father through where we have no distractions, where we can hear Him. And then we begin to develop, it begins to develop and to be manifested in our lives. Now let's go to John chapter 8. John chapter 8 verse 1. I'm going to read this here. And this is where I really want to go. It's just something that talking about being tuned into the Father, listening to the voice of the Father, knowing what God would have us to do, to say what to do. Let's read John 8, I think it's like 1 through 12 here. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, now early in the morning. He came again into the temple, and all the people came to Him, and He sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and Pharisees, that would be the religious leaders of the day, came again into the temple, and all the people came to Him, and He sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and Pharisees brought to Him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to Him, Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that that such should be stoned. But what do you say? They're trying to trap Jesus. I mean, that's what they're trying to do here. This they said, testing him that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus, I just like this right here, stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger. All us guys, I mean, I'm not a kid no more, okay, but I think about as a kid watching my granddad sit there and whittle. And that's the picture I got when I thought about Jesus sitting down there, and he's writing in the dirt with his finger, London. He just look, you know, got all these religious leaders around him. They just accuse, they're telling him, this woman should be stoned according to our law. So Jesus stooped down, wrote on the ground with his finger as though he did not hear. See, sometimes it's okay to pretend like you don't hear him. Jesus just did. It makes good sense. You want to confound them. You want to cause them to start thinking something. You know, you want to, God's trying to activate a thought process, okay? And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. No, verse 7, excuse me. So when they continued asking him, they didn't shut up. Jesus sitting there writing in the dirt with his finger, and they're still running their mouth. A man that talks a lot sins a lot with his mouth. Can you imagine what they were saying? So when they continued asking him, he raised up himself up and said to them, he who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. That shut him up. But I just want to submit this to you. Jesus is sitting there writing in the dirt with his finger, just scratching, and he's listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit. He's listening to his Father God. He's telling him how he wants him to respond to these people. We respond much too fast sometimes. We need to take a little time to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit to know what those people actually need to hear. We've got these preconceived ideas that we've generated, and as Caleb and I were talking, it's because of the culture and the environment we've all grown up in. You know, it's there. God wants us, those are strongholds that keep us from helping set others free with the anointing that's on us. And I just think so much that Jesus sat there and he just listened to the Father. And he told him what to say. And watch what happens. It's cool. I mean, it just really just goes all over me. So he told him, he is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. And he stooped down and wrote on the ground. He just went back to doodling. Like Grandpa went back to whittling. Grandpa tells you something, and you sit there and look at him while he's whittling, thinking, is he going to finish this? Is he going to really tell me what he means? Look at verse 9. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience. I just went out one by one, beginning with the oldest even to the last. And Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. Now this woman's had to sit here and endure all this whole time. They kept mouthing until Jesus told them, you who are without sin, you cast the first stone. You and me got any sin in our life? I'm going to tell you what, we all make mistakes. We all mess up. So we ain't got no right to cast no stones. We got to have ears to hear here. We got to pay attention, because when we get... I'll just try to listen to the Lord, just keep going on. So when Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? That's condemned. That's not convicted, okay? Pay attention to those two words. She said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I'm the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. So just let me just submit some things unto you here. Those religious leaders, guys, we can compare them to a whole lot of stuff that's going on in our world today. And I wouldn't call them religious leaders, but I'd call them corrupt leaders. We got people out there But I'm going to tell you something. Me and Caitlin were talking about this on the way down here. Lies cannot stand in the midst of truth. It's impossible. Now, it may tick them off, whoever's doing the lying, when you speak the truth. I just picture, I don't know how many of those scribes and Pharisees were there. I don't know how many religious leaders were there. But when Jesus said, "You who are without the first sin, cast the first stone," it says they were convicted. Because they were convicted because conviction sets the captives free. Condemnation causes rebellion and drives them further away. Most of us have been so big on condemning that we ain't got no room. There's no way the Lord can convict through us because we're so busy condemning them. We want to beat them over the head with a stick. We don't hate the sinner. We hate the sin. And we gotta love that person, because you see, I compare this. We got all these, I better not say it that way. The very people, we got people out there that are in bondage because of condemnation. All those religious leaders were standing there, and they were convicted, and they walked out of there one by one. I just totally believe that lies and untruths cannot stand in the midst of the truth. It has to go. And darkness is dispelled by light. We're the light of the world. We're to speak the truth in Christ. And as we do that, I'm going to tell you what, there's going to be more set free, I believe, than we can even imagine. And there's probably going to be more get ticked off at you than you can even imagine, because they don't want to hear it. But we keep going, we know why. Okay? I believe the eyes of the scribes and Pharisees and the woman and her accusers received revelation knowledge by the words Jesus spoke. I totally believe that because Jesus listened to the Father and He said what the Father would have Him to say, God knew exactly what would set those people free. That woman, Jesus told her, said, "I don't accuse you either. Go and sin no more." She realized at that moment, she's seen all of the things she needed to let go of. And not only that, she was empowered to do it because she'd heard the truth. And then, those scribes and Pharisees, religious leaders, just like, guys, we got pastors out there today and leaders in churches that are not speaking the truth. But we don't need to condemn them. We need to pray for them and let God surround them with the right people that brings Holy Spirit conviction, because they're part of the team, they're part of the body, and they need to be helping us carry the message. We don't need to be beating them down. I want, you know, silence is golden. If we can't speak what Christ would have us to speak, we need to shut up. Just be quiet and do what God would have us say, what He'd have us to say, and do what He'd have us to do. People are always looking for an explanation. You know, in the Bible, Jesus told us, said, "Let your yes be yes and your no be no." So, London tells Granny. Granny says, "London, you going to the rodeo tonight?" And London just looks at her and says, "No," and doesn't give her an explanation. And Granny wants to know why. And London said, "God said, let your yes be yes, your no be no, Granny. I don't have to tell you why I'm not going." You're just right here, baby, and I just had to go right there. But another little analogy, but you know, we don't know explanations. When the Holy Spirit says, "Say this, just say that and let it be. Don't ad lib." We inject too many opinions. And what we think is, I don't like to listen to people that tell me what they think I want to hear. And so I don't want to be one of those people. I don't want to say something just to make you feel better. I want to say what God would have to say, because it's going to help you. And so we need to pay attention to those things so that, anyway, let me read you this. Y'all won't, unless you're in the NIV Bible, 2 Corinthians 4:4 in the NIV says, "The God of this age," little g, okay, "has blinded the mind of unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." But John 10:10 says, Jesus said, "The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." John 8:32, "The truth shall make you free. You shall know the truth, and it shall make you free." That's John 8:32. In other words, you shall have revelation knowledge. The eyes of your understanding shall be enlightened. I want the eyes of my understanding enlightened. I want to know. We are seated with Christ in heavenly places. When he raised Christ up, he raised us up. When he gave Jesus authority, he gave us authority. And we either walk in it, or it's just like having a brand new pickup full of diesel sitting out there needing to go to town and not go turn the key and get in it and run it. That's the same thing. I'm going to tell you what, we got way more than that. We are locked and loaded with the power of God. And if we don't activate it, it's just going to sit there. Because it says there in Psalms 103 that the angels hearken unto the voice of the Lord, unto His word. Well, when we speak His word, they hearken, they go to work. Guys, we're just part of the team. We're the children of the Most High God with the authority to assign these angels to get to work and to carry out things. And we've got a lot of people around us every day that need to be set free and delivered. And so it's up to us to make our minds up. Okay, again, this really goes all over. Back to 2 Corinthians 4:4. "The God of this age has blinded the mind of unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." So, back to Luke 4, verse 18. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon us because He's anointed us to preach the gospel, to set the captives free, to open their eyes up. We are ambassadors for Christ, commissioned to proclaim liberty to the captives. We must grow and cultivate the nature of Jesus. We must seek or crave to be partakers of His divine nature." Can you just picture? I mean, picture yourself, John. Somebody comes to you one day and says something that, I mean, the Holy Spirit just quickens you, you know, as to how off the wall it is, and you're sitting in a chair and you just start doodling in the dirt and don't say nothing. And they're looking at you and they just keep rattling. But you're tuned in. And you know the Holy Spirit showed you what they're dealing with. But you have so exercised your desire to be a partaker of the nature of Christ that you just sit there and doodle in the dirt until you hear the voice of God and He speaks to you. And they get up and they are like, they receive revelation knowledge. That's what God's wanting us to do. He wants us to hear so that we truly set the captives free. We have so many people out there that are so, they think, you know, in the beginning, God created man in His image and His likeness. He created them male and female. That's two genders. There's no more than two genders. There can't be no more than two genders. And that was God. That's the truth. So when confronted with something, and I don't want to go there. I just want to, just as an illustration, that's the truth. Anything other than that's a lie. Lies can't stand in the midst of the truth. So they're either going to get set free or they're going to run away. That's all our parts to speak the truth. But He created us male and female. He said, replenish the world. Subdue it. Be fruitful and multiply. You read that and for your own, but I'm just saying that lies cannot stand and stay in the midst of the truth. And if we'll get busy speaking the truth and being turned in to keep ourselves acquainted with the Father, we'll know what to say. And we'll see people set free. It's hard for me. I told Caleb, the culture I was raised in and at the time I was raised, and in the last few months of God, He's just really, He's put one of them deals over my mouth to where I just, like, I want to say it. But he said, don't let it come out of your mouth. For the words that you speak are life and health and healing to all your flesh. Yeah, please. The words that you speak are life and health and healing to all our flesh. So we have to pay attention to what we're saying, not just on our own behalf, but on behalf of those around us. Because we're responsible to build them up. We don't do the opening of the eyes, but we speak the truth and God opens the eyes. Okay? So, let me see if I can. We talked about, so when dealing with or being confronted by those who know or that we know are being robbed of the life God designed and created for them, we must shun critical and judgmental spirits. And that's a good one for the body of Christ. We're pretty good at being critical and judgmental. But as we, thank you, Heidi, we've just so, but when we realize that, God's opened the eyes of my understanding of this. I'm not there yet all the way. Okay. So I'm not bragging on myself, but I'm just telling you that when we willingly and obedient submit, God brings it up. And he says, now, can you walk in the midst? I want you to be able to walk in the midst of that as Jesus did. And then I want you to listen to me and say the words that will set that person free from what's robbing them of my destiny for them. Man, we are locked and loaded with the power and authority of God. And so all we got to do is activate it. And so we activate it by spending time with him. And I told Corey the other day, Miss Ross, I said, if you don't hurry up and get back here, I'm going to preach what you... I've been waiting on you not to preach. And he said, well, just go for it if you want to. I just want to hear it there. Okay, so let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. We must recognize... I won't read the whole deal, but Ephesians 6 verse 12 says, we all know this, but think about it. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. We're not fighting against that person. We're fighting against, spirits that have overtaken that person, or they're influencing their life. That are robbing them of their destiny, or maybe robbing us sometimes. But we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. It's really hard to get past that nowadays, isn't it? If you watch the news, it's really hard to get past it. You think, you ignorant. Come down here to Texas and let us deal with you. I'm like, Lord, could we not help you a little? Help you? Will you not assign us a little something? Could we not have a little fun here? You know, God desires that no man perish, but every man come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And if we're operating in condemnation with that, let's beat it out of them with a stick attitude. Bless their hearts. I know some of them. I think they're hopeless, but that's between them and God. I'm not supposed to judge that. He said, get it right from the judgmental critical spirit. And so, turn it off. If it causes you to be judgmental and critical, get it out of your life for a while. Get away from it. Lay aside the weights and the sins that would so easily beset us in Hebrews chapter 12 verse 1. And I'm going to tell you what, we don't look at them as weights and sins, but that's exactly what that is. And when we engage or set our eyes, be so careful about what we set our eyes upon, because some of us, there's some things we can't stand to look at without getting totally ticked off and ready to go to war. There's a time of peace and a time for war, but we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Howdy's wrestling against principalities and powers up there in that school district, and we need to be supporting him with prayer so that he's able to stand up and have the discernment when those kids walk in the room. And I know, because Howdy seizes the opportunities to set the captives free. I just see it all over you. I just know. I just know when you, I just the attitude he has toward those kids and the little bit tidbits he shares. Them kids are so fortunate and they're so blessed because, you know, I know, and some days you want to see things you're not seeing, but I know it's happening. And I want, God said, you need to know it's happening. They're setting free. They're going home and taking some to their parents. So don't quit. Don't give up. I know you're not, but I just want to encourage you. Just go for it. 2 Corinthians 10:4 in the NIV says we are to use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down these strongholds of human reasoning and destroy false arguments. So our response, speech and preaching, should be 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. You can turn there if you want to. I'm going to just quote it for you for the sake of time. Let our speech and preaching not be with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Holy Spirit and power of God that operates on us, in us, and through us, that stirs in the minds of our hearers the most holy emotions, thus persuading them that their faith not stand in the wisdom of men, in us, but in the power of God. Give God the opportunity to demonstrate. When we speak the word, he said, if you'll preach the word, I'll confirm it. And I just keep thinking back to the day that your daddy's standing up here and having everybody pray over his back, and your mama finally says, shut up and receive it. And I thought, that was so good. You know what? I looked at him later, we both laughed, you know. But I'm going to tell you what, we need to shut up sometimes. We're thinking, God, you ain't done nothing yet. Shut up, let me work, you won't get out of the way. He said, you already preached the word, let me confirm it. You watch this week, the things that get confirmed in your life. Because we preached the word today. We just shared the gospel, and it's the power of God into salvation. Salvation is a complete package of being nothing missing, nothing broken. You're dealing with something today in your body, before the end of the week, I believe you're going to be healed. Will you believe it? Will you receive it? Will you take it? He said, take what's ours. Believe it. Receive it. Get a hold of it. Don't let it go. 2 Corinthians 7 verse 10 says, godly sorrow conviction produces repentance and deliverance, but the sorrow condemnation of the world produces death. So when we're operating under the power of the Holy Spirit and conviction comes, people get set free and delivered. That's 2 Corinthians 7 verse 10. But when we do it our way, under condemnation, we just drive them off and cause them to die in their own sin. That's a heavy deal out there. I mean, you know, if I'm not loving them and sharing the truth with them. Again, I'm not telling you to love the sin. I'm just saying, well, we're dealing with things out there every day that we need to recognize, the discernment, that people are being enslaved by the little god of this world with this deception. And they're trapped in things that they think, you know, everybody's searching. I mean, still some of the body of Christ still searching. They won't just realize they got it. But everybody out there is searching for fulfillment. God, Jesus is the fulfillment. And so we got to speak the truth because it's the conviction that sets them free. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. John 14:6, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father but by me. 1 Timothy 2:4, God desires all men be saved and come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So, Galatians 5:6 and Romans 5 says the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. We must cultivate that love through spending time in the presence of God, being anointed with the Holy Spirit, and letting Him work that anointing through us. And all of us know 1 Corinthians 13, but it'd be good to declare it over ourselves every day. It helps. And then Ephesians 1:17-19. If we learn to pray that on behalf of ourselves, what we declared at the beginning, that God, please open the eyes of my understanding and give me that wisdom and revelation. As we begin to pray that for the lost, well then, God honors our prayers. Let me ask you a quick question. Do you believe God? Do you believe the Word of God? Okay. It says, Abraham believed God and he accounted unto him for righteousness. And God's no respecter of persons. So say, I'm righteous. Well, say it with some authority and believe it. I'm righteous. And my prayers produce much fruit. There you go. That's all. I mean, we got to believe that. And as we do it, I'm going to tell you what. We're going to watch people. You know, we may not be the ones every time to get to lead them to Christ or whatever, but we're going to activate the anointing that intercedes and moves on their behalf. So I thank y'all so much for letting me share with you today. And we won't ever, we just don't leave here without giving people an opportunity to receive Jesus. And if you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, no one comes to the Father except through Jesus. You know, people can, there's a lot of good people out there going to hell. God don't send nobody to hell. It's a choice. And when we don't choose Jesus and understand that Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father except through me. You know, all we got to do is believe that, believe in our heart that Jesus is the Son of God and that God raised Him from the dead and that Jesus died for us and bought back our right to have an eternal destiny with our Heavenly Father. So if we're going to all pray, I'm going to ask all of us to pray this prayer together. And if you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior today, then I hope that you would do that. And I'm just know when you leave here that if you walked out that door, and I'm not speaking nothing bad over you, but I'm just saying if you died before morning, know that you'd be in the presence of your Heavenly Father. So let's pray this prayer together. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Father God, thank you today for Jesus. I realize that I've sinned. I've fallen short of your glory. But I desire to come back in to my life you created for me before you formed me in my mother's womb. So I believe that Jesus is your Son. That He went to the cross. He died for me. And you raised Him from the dead. So I give my life to you, Jesus. And I ask you to be my Lord and Savior. And I receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. With every head bowed and every eye closed. Listen, if you prayed that today if today's the day you made Jesus the Lord of your life, we want to give you a Bible. So I'm just going to count to three. If that's you, raise your hand. They're going to give you a Bible. And we just want to welcome you. One, two, three. Anybody? Raise a hand. Okay, y'all look up. I thank y'all so much for letting me share with you today. You guys, please, just remember, y'all are, man, God just, He loves you. Look at Him today. He's just taking today's Father's Day. Did God have the best Father's Day He ever had, knowing that look at all my kids down there. Man, you guys are so good. So, howdy, I'm done.
All right. I'm done. I'm trying to help him down the stairs, but I was trying to help you down the stairs. Oh, good times today. Amen. Yes, yes. That one scripture in Luke, I love that scripture where Jesus comes out and just basically tells them, this is who I am. He said, I have been anointed. And now Jesus, now He had an anointing. I mean, now He was anointed to do the fivefold ministry. He was the only person that we know of that was ever anointed to do the fivefold ministry. He operated in all five. He has anointed you, and He anointed Jesus to set the poor, to set free the poor, set free the captives, the brokenhearted, the bruised. What does that tell us about God? Well, He don't want you broke. He don't want you brokenhearted. He don't want you beat up, busted, and disgusted. And it says to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. My friends, this is the year. I mean, every year is the acceptable year. And if you believe that God wants to bless you in this year, you'll be blessed. And if you don't believe it, you won't be blessed. The only part of that Bible that really works for you are the parts that you believe. All those other parts, if you don't believe them, they no worky, right? You don't believe you, they no worky. But it is interesting being around kids. I've talked to atheists. I've talked to kids who have been in religions where they were basically in a cult. Guys, you're going to encounter those people. You don't see them just at school. You see them at your workplace. In the public places, you're going to see them. And yes, in certain places and certain atmospheres, you may not be able to say a whole lot because you're, you got to obey the authority. You have to obey authority when you come in here. I was talking to a guy the other day, I was telling him, hey, when you walk into church, there's authority. When you go into the convenience store, there's authority. When you go into school, there's authority. Restaurants, wherever. But anytime you have an opportunity, take advantage. And if you have to, slap them with a little bit of Jesus and then just let them have it. But we're all in this together, y'all. I mean, I know the world's bad, but we're all in the same world. It's not like we get to leave the world and come back to this. We're all in this world together. So no matter how bad it gets, we're for each other. And I'm telling you, you are not the minority. You are the majority. God has always had a remnant in the earth, and we're that remnant. We're the ones that are going to set the captives free. We get to preach the gospel to people before Jesus comes back. So thank you, Rusty, for that, and thank you for that. Bringing that scripture up, it's one of my favorites. But before we leave, don't forget this week there's no Bible study because we have vacation Bible school this week. So if you're wanting your kids to come to VBS, we start at 6. I mean, we start at 6:30, but I think we'd like to get them here at 6 so we can get them registered, put them where they're supposed to go. So if you can get them here by 6, they'll be done at 8, Monday through Thursday of this week, okay? But there's no Bible study on Tuesday night because we have VBS, okay? Is there anything else that I miss? Okay. And if you, y'all know Rusty doesn't get a salary here. So if you want to bless him, it's he paid your fees. So if you're writing a check, but he paid your fees. And if you want a tax receipt at the end of the year, make sure you get an envelope and fill it out. Okay. And put your address on there. If you'd like to give to Rusty and bless him, this bucket right here is for him. If you didn't put your tithes and offerings in yet, there are these buckets on the side. But this bucket right here, every bit of it goes to Rusty. So if you'd like to bless him before we get out of here, feel free to come up and give in this bucket right here. Okay? All right. Is there anything else you think of? Good? All right. Yes. Ladies' conference here at the... This is one we did at the last year, right? We had ladies and then we had men's, right? Okay, so that's in October. The 16th is the women's. I don't know if they may not have the men's decided yet. I don't know, but she's like, I just work here, right? October 16th is the ladies' conference, so you can go ahead and put that on your calendar. Okay, y'all stand to your feet, and we'll get out of here. I'd like to honor my parents. My parents came today, my mom and dad over here. Yep. Dad said, he told Rusty, he said, I've been Howdy's dad for a long time. That's him. So I'd like to honor them for coming. So get to have Father's Day. Y'all have a happy Father's Day. And go home and eat lots of food, sweet tea, and peach cobbler. All right? Or apple pie. Yeah, you're coming to my house? Okay, y'all come to my house. Y'all don't know where I live. All right, let's pray. Let's get out of here. Father, we love you. Thank you for a wonderful day. We are so honored, Lord. We're so thankful, Lord, that you are the greatest Father ever. You are the God that cares about us, and we are so thankful that you even consider us, Lord, and so thankful, Lord, that we can just use our faith and be blessed, Lord. We believe that we are anointed to preach to the poor, to set the captives free, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, because we are your children, Lord. You are a wonderful Father to us because you are a giver, and you love us. You sent your Holy Spirit to live on the inside of us. You loved us so much. Father, we thank you for all that you do for us. We are highly blessed and highly favored. We expect great things to happen to us in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. You're dismissed, big